The views expressed on this program are solely those of the speaker and do not reflect the views and opinions of Centennial Securities. Be reminded that this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Happy Friday! Welcome to the Weekly Investment Podcast, where we discuss the week's must-know investment news and how it affects your money. I am your host, Walter. This week we discuss leaders versus followers, spin-offs, and collectibles. It's been another exciting week in the investment world, so let's crack right into the news. As the saying goes, when the U.S. economy sneezes, the world catches a cold. Because of the U.S. economy's position as the world's leader, many central banking authorities take their cues from the Federal Reserve. However, the European Central Bank insists it won't follow the Fed's lead as it prepares to start cutting interest rates. How will the ECB's subsequent policy path be shaped by what happens in the U.S.? The U.S. is the world's largest economy, and it usually doesn't take long for domestic economics to spill into other areas almost immediately. Policymakers around the globe find it hard to escape the Fed's decisions when assessing the fate of their own economies. ECB officials meet next week to discuss when, how quickly, and by how much to cut back on interest rates. Policymakers at the ECB have suggested that markets prepare for an initial cut on June 6th. Recent reports have showed inflation in the European Union slowed more than expected in March, and at 2.4% is approaching the ECB's goal. The ECB has pushed back on the idea that they will follow the Fed on interest rate cuts, but they also haven't committed to what happens after they make their first cut, arguing that economic data will decide. Right now, the expectation is that the ECB will cut at most four times this year, with the Fed's projection of reducing rates only two or maybe three times. This divergent rate path is down to the U.S. economy being comparatively stronger. Now, the ECB has proved in the past that it can diverge from the Fed. It cut rates in December 2015 and again in March 2016 when the U.S. Central Bank was entering a three-year period of rate increases. And while the Fed is worried about cutting rates too soon, the ECB is signaling the opposite, that cutting rates too late is their biggest concern. General Electric completed its latest spin-off this week, and investors are betting that the company will buck the trend of the lackluster performance that has followed many corporate spin-offs. What is the benefit of a spin-off? Spin-offs occur when a company separates one of its components to be a standalone business. For example, GE splitting into three separate companies, which all trade under separate stock tickers. Spin-offs are designed to unlock value, but many have followed an unremarkable share price performance. A study by Bain & Company looked at more than 350 spin-offs between 2000 and 2020 and showed that spin-offs generated an average total investor return of about 5% per year over the 3 years after the split. That compares to an almost 9% gain in the S&P 500 during the same time frame. Spin-offs underperformed in the three-year time frame for a broad range of reasons, including losing control over costs and maintaining margins. GE's latest spin-off is for its power and energy division called Vernova. Whether the Vernova spin-off is profitable for investors will likely depend on the growth of the renewable business. Vernova recently said that it expects to clear a backlog in offshore wind equipment and signaled improving market conditions in that sector. Baseball cards, coins, wine, toys, collectibles are as popular as ever, but should you invest in them? Let's explore this phenomenon. Collectibles can be considered an alternative investment because they are not stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, or cash. The return on certain collectibles can be in the high single digits annualized, while very niche items have seen annualized increases in the double digits, according to a study published in the Research in International Business and Finance Journal. Like any investment, though, collectibles have both advantages and disadvantages, as well as risks to be aware of. You may have heard that collectibles aren't tied to the stock market. However, there is some degree of truth here, as investors have more disposable income when the stock market goes up, which leads to an increase in the purchase of collectibles. When the stock market falls, that disposable income drops, which negatively impacts the collectibles market. Also, collectibles are taxed differently than stocks. The long-term capital gains tax on the sale of a collectible is a whopping 28%, compared to between 0 and 20% for a stock, depending on your level of income. Unlike other types of investments, you will not be paid for owning a collectible. They don't pay dividends or interest. That lack of cash flow is a drawback. Finally, selling collectibles can be challenging because finding a buyer is often difficult, so they are not nearly as liquid as other types of investments. In short, collectibles shouldn't replace your IRA or your 401k. Also, it is the really high end of the collectibles market, be it wine, watches, or handbags, that see the greatest appreciation over the long term. So, for those with the means and the time horizon to reap the benefits, they could see decent returns on their investment. My advice here is to enjoy your collectibles for what they are, first and foremost, and for their investment potential, second. Next week, we discuss March's jobs report. The labor market has been strong, and any big changes will move the market. Join us next Friday for that and much, much more. Thank you for listening, and please have a nice weekend when you get there. Talk to you next week.